耶稣有多少个兄弟姐妹？
Does anybody know?
有谁知道？
There we go. Yeah. And do we know? Is there any place in the New Testament that tells us who his brothers and sisters were?
在新约圣经里有哪些地方讲到耶稣的兄弟姐妹的？
And then another question. Oh, was there an answer over here?
有人刚有没有回答是吧？
I don't know. Okay.Well, we know at least six siblings.
我们照这里讲到的，耶稣至少有六个兄弟姐妹。
Right, at least four brothers, at least two sisters, maybe more.
至少有四个兄弟，两个姐妹。
Now, what did Jesus do during all of these formative years?
那耶稣在他这个成长的阶段里，他做些什么呢？
Before he arrived at the age of 30 when he began his public ministry.
他在三十岁之前开始传道之前，他做了些什么呢？
Well, we know that he was an apprenticed carpenter.
我们知道他是一个木匠的学徒。
And that he was a student of the word.
他也是这个旧约圣经的学生。
This message is about how people receive not only Jesus, but those people who try to follow Jesus.
我们今天信息讲到不光是讲到耶稣，也讲到跟随耶稣的人。
And when you're not with people you know really well, you know, sometimes you're received warmly and then sometimes not so warmly.
你碰见人有人家可能会很这个很对你很欢迎，也有的人对你可能不那么欢迎。
I know next year will be my 50th anniversary for the high school reunion.
我明年就会参加我高中的五十年的同学聚会。
I don't know if I'm going to go or not.
我不确定我到时候会不会去。
But I do know that when I go, it's always awkward.
我相信我如果去的话，大家见面总会有尴尬的时分的。
I think I only have gone once in the last 50 years, but.
我相信过去的以前聚会我只去过一次。
But I think it's because I don't know anybody from those years anymore.
因为这五十年大家也没有，我也没有跟他们联络，也没有见面。
I lived in Europe for a while, and then I lived in Asia for a while, and then I just kind of lost track over the years.
我也搬了很多次家，我在欧洲住过，在亚洲住过，这些年大家也没有联系了。
But you know, it can be also awkward because people only remember who you were back when you were still not fully mature.
还有一点就是。因为人家记忆只记得他在你认识人这段阶段，那时候你还不成熟的时候，他记得你的，他对你的印象已经有了。
And a lot of people, you know, if whether you're lived away from your family or lived away from your hometown, when you finally do go back, you know, they look at you kind of funny.
对很多人来说，你离开家乡去到外面去工作生活一段，你当你回去的时候，你家乡原来的人看你就觉得，哎，这个好像很有意思。
Yeah.So I think, you know, this what this passage is about today, where Jesus comes back to his hometown.
这一段呢，就是耶稣回他的回乡了。
But the same would be true if you're a Christ follower and you go back to your family after being gone a long time, or you go back to your hometown. People really don't know who you are.
这对我们来说也是一样。当你成为基督徒，你离开家乡成为基督徒，或者过一段日子你又回去的时候，你的原来你家乡的人看见你，他的感觉的又不一样了。
And if you're one of those people that actually really changed over the years and you encountered God, people aren't expecting that.
当你离开家这么多年，你在外面，你的信了主，你的整个人都变了。当你回去的时候，你家乡的人可能不会认识你了已经。
But there are some people that you will meet in our families, in our churches, who have been genuinely transformed by Jesus Christ.
在我们认识人中，我们很多人他是。因着认识耶稣基督，他真的是有重生，他得到了改变。
So I think in part this message is about how we see people.
那今天的主题就是说，你自己会你会怎么去看别人？当别人改变了，或者你在原有的印象中，你怎么看别人
？How we judge people or misjudge people?
你怎么来好像在论断别人，或者你错误的论断了别人
？Jesus says, "Do not judge by appearances only, but judge with right judgment."
耶稣说不要按外貌断定是非，总要按公平断定是非。
And we'll see how when we misjudge, sometimes we can short circuit what God wants to do with his people and with individual Christ followers.
我们都今天会看到，就当你错误的判断别人的时候，你又怎样会拦阻神的工作。
And if we're honest, we all misjudge at times.
我们要如果诚实的话，我们常常都会论断错误的论断别人的。
Right. hopefully as we mature, we do that less and less. But all of us, if we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with our family, sometimes we look at people and we only see who they used to be.
当我们在逐渐成熟的话呢，我们就会希望少对别人做这个论断，但是呢，这个免不了的。
Right. And so I think the Holy Spirit probably, if you let him, he's going to challenge you, he's going to challenge me to, you know, look for a moment at ourselves. Are we those kind of people who only see what used to be?
用今天的信息，希望圣灵对我们说话，让我们每一个人反省一下自己，是不是用旧的眼光来，就用以前的眼光来看待别人。
Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit examine you in that way today?
你会让圣灵对你说话吗？
Not willing. Okay.
愿意啊。
Yeah, I think it's good. You know, that's why we get out of bed and that's why we come to church, because I think we're willing to let the scriptures and the Spirit search us freshly once again.
我们每天早上起来到教会来，就希望圣灵对我们说话。
The passage is here in English, and I'm just going to read the first verse or two as we get underway.
好，我们下面来看看这个大概读几节圣经。
And as you know, Jesus is coming back to his hometown called Nazareth.
我们知道这个耶稣回到他自己的出生地，就是拿撒勒。
And I'm going to take these glasses off because they do absolutely no good except for reading. And I forgot my glasses today, so we'll see how I do.
我戴些眼镜来读哈。
It says, he went away, Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue.
所以这里说耶稣离开那里来到自己的家乡，门徒也跟随他，到了安息日他在会堂里教训人。
Now this is a long distance now, right? When you leave Capernaum and you go to Nazareth, it's like an 11 or 12 hour walk.
这在当时交通不发达，他离开了加百农，来到了这个拿撒勒，这他是走了11个小时的路程哈。
It's like 40 miles.
这对我们来用走来衡量话，这是40英里。
So sometimes when you do a little deeper study in the Bible, you really like, whoa, that's a long way, just from Capernaum all the way down to Nazareth.
就你在图上看了，从加百农右上角到左下方这个拿撒勒，这是40英里。
And as was Jesus' custom, he would be found oftentimes on the Sabbath in the synagogue, right?
所以耶稣作为一个犹太人，就安息的时候，他都是去会堂的。
And I think it's interesting that Jesus' relationship with the synagogue is a little bit complicated.
耶稣跟会堂的关系有点复杂哈。
Because he's not always well received when he goes to the synagogue.
因为他去会堂的时候，会堂人不见得总是欢迎他。
But on this particular day, he's back in his hometown. I think everybody's eager to hear from the hometown boy. They've heard a lot of reports about him, and so, you know, he walks into the synagogue.
所以呢，这次回到自己家，他家乡的人就很想看看他，因为听说他的事情又是他是本地出去的，所以都很想再见见他，听他讲些什么。
And this is the place where they have known Jesus since he was just a wee little lad.
所以他家乡的人从他小时候就一直认识他。
We get a little glimpses of it, like in the Gospel of Luke, what it was like when Jesus was just a child.
我们可以从路加福音里面看到，讲到耶稣小的时候一些事情。
And so, what would Jesus have encountered as a young Jewish boy growing up in a peasant family like that?
你想，耶稣作为一个他父母好像是个农民哈，然后他又是个犹太的小男孩，他的成长是怎么样子的
？So I did a little research, and here's what I came up with.
我研究了一下，然后这个我发现是这样子的哈。
At 5 years old, Jesus would be deemed fit to begin learning the scriptures.
所以犹太小孩男孩子五岁就开始就要学习律法了。
And then at 10 years old, he'd be fit to begin engaging the Mishnah, the oral Torah interpretation.
他10岁的时候就可以要口传摩西的五经了。
And then at 12 or 13, what we today call the Bar Mitzvah, he would beLiterally, it means the son of the commandment. He would be fit for the fulfilling of the commandments.
12岁或者13岁就开始要遵行律法了。
And then a couple of years later, at 15, he would be fit for the Talmud, which is the scriptures or the writings that are for rabbinic interpretations.
所以他15岁他就应该会要开始要解释律法了。
Right. At 20, he would be fit to begin pursuing a vocation.
20岁的时候他就开始就 有一份工作了。
Right. And then at 30, they would say that he's fit to begin teaching the scriptures publicly.
30岁的时候他就可以教导别人了。
So that's interesting, all of that preparation, all of those years before he even starts his public ministry.
所以看着这么多 每一个年龄的阶段都有他应该做的事情啊。
But as we study that the first century, we learn that very few people, very few men would actually continue and become teachers.
所以我们知道在那个年代很少有人到了三十岁后继续从事的就是教导他人的这个职业。
So I think it's interesting as we look at Jesus' life, what we can pick up in different scriptures in the Bible, it's interesting to see how closely Jesus' life followed this prescription.
So 我们看见耶稣他的这个从小到大从五岁到三十岁这段阶段他是怎么样的照着这个犹太的传统他就是这样走过来的。
Now admittedly, even though we don't know too much about his early years, we do know that he was just a boy in Luke 2:52 and that he grew in wisdom as a child.
我们在圣经上记载他童年 的这个经文不多哈，在路加福音里面记载了他12岁的时候的一段事情。
And we know also that he reached the fulfilling of the commandments indicated by his appearance at that first Passover at the age of 12, Luke chapter 2:41.
圣经上记载耶稣的智慧和身量并神和人喜悦他的心一直在增长，又记载他十二岁的时候他上了圣殿那一次。
And then in Matthew and Mark we learn that he indeed did learn a trade from his father Joseph.
在马太福音和马可福音就讲到他子承父业，他继承他父亲的那个木匠的那个行业。
That he apprenticed as a carpenter.
他跟随他父亲来学这个做一个木匠的学徒。
And then as he continued to mature, we know that he spent time with John the Baptist.
后来我们看见他和那个施洗约翰有过交集。
And that at around 30, the scriptures tell us he began his public ministry.
那讲到他三十岁的时候出来传道。
And this is remarkable because it really parallels what the Mishnah prescribes.
这个刚刚我们讲到这个犹太男孩子的成长过程是高度吻合。
That's why we see Jesus invited now to teach in the synagogue.
这就我们看见耶稣到了会堂里面，他们就来邀请他到会堂里面讲道。
So he's obviously not only working, but like a lot of us, you know, he's also studying the scriptures.
所以他不仅是一面工作，一面他在研读律法来教导别人。
He's a devoted follower of Yehovah, right?
对，他、yeah. 他遵循耶和华的道。
And we read in verses 2 and 3, And on the Sabbath, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? And how are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? Yeah.
耶稣在讲道的时候，众人听见了，就甚稀奇，说：“这人从哪里有这些事呢？所赐给他的是什么智慧？他手所做的是何等的异能呢？这不是那木匠吗？这不是玛利亚的儿子雅各、约西、犹大、西门的长兄吗？他妹妹们不也是在我们这里吗？”
So as we can see from this passage, there's a mixed reaction about receiving Jesus on this particular day in this town.
所以你看见在从这些人讲话的，你看见对于耶稣。这段讲他的反应有分成两种了。
Some were admittedly astonished.
有的人觉得哇，这很惊奇啊。
Where did Jesus learn such things that came out of his mouth and glean such profound insights?
他们就想着耶稣从哪里学到了这些的智慧和知识。
And how could such a young Galilean possess such wisdom?
一个从加利利来的年轻人怎么会有如此的智慧？
And they also thought, some of them, well, how can this young Nazarene do such miracles that we're hearing about?
然后一个年轻的拿撒勒来的人怎么会有这么大的能力来行神迹？
So I think these questions indicate that some were acknowledging how incredible it must have been to hear Jesus' teaching.
所以我们可以看见当事人听到了他们的反应是很强烈的。
That his teaching was unparalleled in his own time and actually still unparalleled in our own day 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years later, sorry.
他的讲道跟当时拉比的教训是不一样的。不仅在那个时候不一样，但现在跟也是不一样的。
And God's people hadn't seen the miraculous like they're seeing with the life and ministry of Jesus since the days of Elijah and Elisha, the prophets. You know, that's what I'm talking about here. This, in terms of the mighty deeds and the miracles that Jesus did, the people of God hadn't seen anything like that since the time of Elijah.
Okay. Yeah. 犹太人知道这个先知以利亚或者以利沙，也知道他们做的神迹，但是耶稣行的神，自从之后就没有再听过什么神迹了。但是耶稣现在再来了，行了很多的神迹异能，让他们很惊讶。
Yeah, but there were others that were not so thrilled with what they were hearing.
但有人看了这些，听了这些，他心里并不高兴。
And as we read through that passage, we see skepticism and disbelief among some that were quite disrespectful to Jesus.
有些人看了听了，但是他心里并不相信，反而藐视耶稣。
And like a lot of people today who misjudged, they were more influenced by what they thought they saw and heard.
这些人他们看到了，但他并不接受到心里去。
And we did see earlier as we walked through this same gospel in chapter 3 that there was a point that even his family was saying, you know, I think Jesus is nuts.
就甚至我们之前看过马可福音前面几章讲到，甚至耶稣自己的家人都觉得耶稣可能有点疯了。
So no matter what was going on in their brain or in their hearts, some people were like, wow, he's amazing. And then other people were like, you know, this guy, something's wrong here.
就不管耶稣行多大的神迹异能，讲的多么的符合神的旨意，但是听的人就是分两种，有的说啊这讲的很好，有的说这人有毛病。
And it's true today. Yeah, probably some of you are thinking that about me right now.
现在也是，耶稣的但面对耶稣，人就分两极，有的接受，有的反对。
So what kind of teaching was it that they were hearing from Jesus?
但耶稣当时讲些什么呢？
Well, those who were critical were thinking, well, this is not in line with standard.Rabbinical interpretation.
有人想说，这个跟我们传统讲的这个拉比的教义不同，所以不对。
These are very creative interpretations, if you ask me.
这个这样子的解经有点太牵强，或者说太离谱了。
We've never heard anybody say something quite like that about this passage.
我们从来没有听过人这样子解释这段经文的。
And at least not anybody who has real authority.
至少那个有。凡是有这种有学问的解经的都不是这样讲的。
And you're talking about wisdom? Well, I don't know. I guess you could call it wisdom.
但你如果说这是有智慧的表现吗？我不知道。
Are you sure that what he's saying is from God?
你确定他讲的是从神来的吗？
I heard that his family members even think he's lost his mind.
我听说连他的家人都觉得他疯了。
And as for these mighty works, I've heard that somehow he might be in league with the dark powers.
那怎么解释他能够行异能呢？我听说他是靠着黑暗的权势行异能。
This is what Jesus was being confronted with right there in his hometown synagogue.
所以耶稣在他自己的家乡的会堂里面面对的就有人就有这样的想法。
I mean, don't you recognize who this young man is?
有人就说你认不认得这个年轻人是谁呢？
He's a carpenter.
他就是那个木匠。
He's just a carpenter, a common laborer, just a literate carpenter.
他是一个读了点书的蓝领。
Are you seriously going to follow a carpenter around like he's some kind of orthodox rabbi?
你是真要跟着一个蓝领走来走去，还是你他不是那个有学问的那个拉比？
Besides, we know his family.
而且我们认得他的家人。
He comes from this poor peasant family.
他家里是个很穷的农民。
I heard his mom even had him out of wedlock. He's an illegitimate son, I think.
我还有人说耶稣还。是婚前就生出来的。
He's just one more son from Mary and Joseph's clan.
他就是他那一大票子一家族里面，他其中一个。
So this is what some of them were seeing as they looked at Jesus.
这有些人他就是看耶稣，他就是这样想的。
Now four of his younger brothers are mentioned in this text.
那我们这段圣经讲到耶稣的四个兄弟哈。
And of course Jesus was the firstborn in his family.
那耶稣是他们的长兄。
So consider just for a moment what it must have been like to have Jesus as your older brother.
你想，如果耶稣是你哥哥，你会怎么样？
You and your family would be in the spotlight all the time, whether you wanted it or not.
所以，如果耶稣是你哥哥，那媒体到处追着你，不管你愿不愿意，你都成为他们的追踪对象。
And we know as we study the lives of other people who are famous and who are considered to be celebrities, one person in the family is celebrated and the rest of the family is unknown, there's tension in the family.
所以每次如果家里面出了一个名人，这个家里这个儿子可能受到 大众的关注或者媒体的追捧，但是其他人好像没默默无闻的话呢，在家里总会有矛盾的。
And we see another text like in John chapter 7 where at this point none of his family, none of his brothers really thought that he was the Messiah and they thought he was a little bit nuts.
所以我们看约翰福音第七章讲到他的兄弟们那个时候并不认为他是要来的弥赛亚，所以反而觉得他可能有点疯了。
And so it says in the second part of verse 3, and so they took offense at him.
所以在这个马可福音六章三节这里特别讲到说，这些人他们就因他跌倒。
And it seemed many took offense and stumbled at this rock.
所以这些人就因着他这个跌人的磐石在他这个跌人的磐石上跌倒。
As this word is found all the way through, kind of threaded through the New Testament when it's talking about Jesus, the word we get our word scandal from, yeah, escandalizando. It's just we translate today as scandalized.
Okay, 这个我们就看着他这个绊倒人，或者说是到是个怎么回事。
And we best represent that most typically in English with the word offense or with the idea of stumbling.
就是讲到跌倒或者绊倒。
And it seems they were offended at the very idea that Jesus was some kind of great rabbi.
他们人家跟他说耶稣是个很伟大的拉比的时候，这些有些人就觉得这话他们受不了，他觉得无法接受。
And perhaps they also stumbled upon hearing the glowing reports of others who had been somehow impacted by this rock of offense.
所以当别人跟他说耶稣的所作所为的时候，行了多少的神迹的时候，他们听到的话他们也受不了，他觉得不可能，所以他们也因着这个事情而跌倒。
Have you seen that phrase before, the rock of offense, here and there throughout the New Testament?
在新约圣经有个专门的概念叫做跌人的磐石。
We find it in places like Romans here,
在罗马书中也有讲到，
where it reads, they have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold,I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will never be put to shame. Romans 9:32-33.
所以在我们可以看到在罗马书九章三十二到三十三节特别讲到这个跌人的磐石这一段哈，他说看哪，我在锡安放一块绊脚的石头，跌人的磐石，信靠他的人必不至于羞愧。
Now this is not true only of the skeptics and the people who were misjudging Jesus, but also of some of his disciples.
这段那些有些人因着耶稣而绊倒，那些人不光是不信耶稣的，有一些他的门徒也被绊倒了。
And I read this just recently as I'm kind of restudying the Gospel of John. In John chapter 6, Jesus stands publicly and proclaims himself as the bread of life.
我们看到约翰福音第六章，耶稣站起来对门徒和众人说，我就是生命的粮。
I don't know if you've read it. Chapter 6 is really long, but it's incredible. Jesus gives us this long testimony about himself. He says, come to me, I'm the bread. If you eat this bread, you shall live forever. And not everybody could receive that message.
我们记得约翰福音第六章是挺长的，耶稣讲了最后就讲到说，我是生命的粮，你到我这里来要吃生命的粮，有些人听了就受不了了。
So I just picked out an excerpt here from chapter 6, starting in verse 60, it looks like down to 62.
所以这里我就选了约翰福音六章60到62节。
And we read the following, on hearing what Jesus said, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching, who can accept it? And aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does thisoffend you? There's that Greek word again. Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? Jesus asked.
好，这一段约翰福音第六章三十到三十二节。
六十到六十二节
哈。他的门徒中有好些人听见了，就说这话甚难，谁能听呢？耶稣心里知道门徒为这话议论，就对他们说。这话是让你们厌弃吗？或做叫你们跌倒吗？
Yeah.
倘若你们看见人子升到他原来所在之处，怎么样呢？
Now this word ascend, you know, Jesus says, what if you saw the Son of Man ascend once again back where he came from? And one of the scholars I like to study, his name's Tim Gombas, said this, Jesus' ascent began when he was lifted up on the cross.
耶稣说，他说，当人你们看见人子升到 他原来的地方又怎么样呢？这个生的这个词是从哪一个，这生这个动作是从哪一段开始呢？是从他被在十字架上举起来开始的。
So this is the great scandal of the gospel, as it's known among scholars, that the Messiah would be crucified like a criminal. That's offensive.
所以旧约的有些人对耶稣不信，他就觉得弥赛亚怎么可能会被钉十字架呢？所以那是不可能的，所以耶稣也不可能是真的。
So we see there's no honor for Jesus as he comes back to his hometown.
所以我们看见耶稣在他的他的家乡里面也不受欢迎，也不被人尊重。
So let's see what Jesus' response is.
我们看看耶稣对于他们的这些讲法，耶稣是怎么反应的。
And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." And he could do no mighty works there, Mark tells us, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, that is, Jesus marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching.
所以这里记载耶稣对他们说，大凡先知除了本地亲属本家之外，没有不被人尊敬的。耶稣就在那里不得行什么异能，不过按手在几个病人身上治好他们，他也诧异他们的不信，就往周围乡村教训人去了。
So to this criticism that Jesus was perceiving, he used an aphorism in response, a well-known aphorism. Okay.
所以耶稣对于他们这些人的这个反应，耶稣就用了一个格言来回应他们。
And actually, people still use this aphorism to this day.
这几个格言到现在人类还用的。
Yeah, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown, etc. Yeah. So this aphorism is like a pithy kind of observation from those who study people and who study life.
所以他这个格言就说，大凡先知除了本地本族本乡之外，没有不被人尊敬的。
So such has been the common, I think, about for the response that people receive if they are called by God to, like a prophet, to speak for God in their own time and place.
他这个格言呢，就用中国人也有话叫做“外来的和尚会念经”啊，或者说“侍从眼里无英雄”之类的话，就是当你跟这个人太亲近的时候，你就瞧不起他，你就他发现他的种种细节，让你觉得哦，他也不过跟我一样哈。
I know that some of you are really keen on coming through the scriptures. You read the Bible, you read even the prophets, so you can see this didn't only happen to Jesus, but it was the treatment oftentimes that the prophets receive who dare to speak for God.
所以我们看见，不仅是对耶稣人他们不尊重，对耶稣的先知他们也是不尊重的。
Right, and we see it in places like 2 Chronicles. They kept mocking the messengers or the prophets of God, despising God's words and scoffing at His prophets until judgment came.
So, 我们这里看到的是历代志下这里讲到说，他们讥笑神的使者，藐视他的言语，讥笑他的先知，以致耶和华的愤怒向他的百姓发作，无法可救。
Or, of course, we can't not mention Jeremiah and what he suffered at the hands of God's people.
对，这段耶利米书也是的，耶利米作为神的先知，在神的百姓下面也受了很多的苦。
We read in Jeremiah, for example, chapter 11. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the men of Anathoth who seek your life and say, "Do not prophesy in the name of the Lord, or you will die by our hand."
所以耶利米在跟亚拿突人传神的话的时候，那些人就威胁他说，你不要再跟我们奉耶和华的名讲话，否则你会死在我们手上。
And interestingly, Anathoth was Jeremiah's hometown.
亚拿突那个城市就是耶利米的家乡。
So what's the outcome when God's people, the people who claim God, they reject God's prophet, God's Messiah? What's the outcome?
那你看到这些人，他号称神的儿、神的子民，却又拒绝神的先知，他们有什么结果呢
？I think this is so interesting. It says, "And he, Jesus, could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them."
所以就看见耶稣就在那里不得行什么异能，不过按手在几个病人身上而已。
Matthew also records something quite similar, and it said, "And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief."
马太福音对这一段的记载也是类似，就说因为他们不信， 所以耶稣在那里也不得行什么异能。
So it seems, this is really interesting. It seems wherever faith is lacking and humble reception is absent, God is predetermined to withdraw manifestations of His kingdom blessing and favor. And so the result was Jesus could do very little there.
所以我们看见，当那地方的人不信的时候，神也不显出他的大能。
Yeah, I just think that's interesting. So God is like in this dance with His people.And if you welcome His presence, and you welcome His presence to work among you, then amazing things can happen. But if you don't, and you go through life like this, either, you know, as a person or as a community, then, you know, it's not going to be good.
就好像神和他的子民好像在一起有个跳舞一样哈，当他的子民欢迎他、接受他的时候，神的大能和他的恩典都涌现出来。如果当他的子民拒绝他、不接受他，像他好像有个抵挡的心的时候，神的大能和恩典也不显出来。
I mean, Jesus could do very little there except heal a few people.
那这段圣经讲了，耶稣没办法行什么大的神迹，也不过就医好了几个人。
So I think the implication is worth comment that in some places today, as I travel as a missionary, you know, there are some people who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit too, but they really believe in the necessity of a healing ministry in order to see people come to Christ. But here we see from Mark, who is listening to Peter, that, you know, maybe there's more that really arrests our attention and awakes us to our need for Jesus beyond just the miraculous.
So it's just...下面讲解对我对这个神医的恩赐这个的我的理解哈，有时候就从这段圣经来看，当这个人不信的时候，耶稣也没有办法行什么神迹，所以在这个神医的恩赐这种特别聚会，就说啊，你来我医治你，信不信不管，先医治了再说，那个好像在我看来好像不好。
Because if you think about it, Mark and Peter, they saw the kingdom of God breaking in. They saw incredible, miraculous things. But they said, but all he could do is a few healing miracles. Like it was like, oh, unfortunately, that's all he could do. So I think that's kind of interesting. You put it in perspective.
对，这里看这个，不管是马可还是马太，他们记载就是因着这些人的不信，耶稣不能行什么异能，不过就是按手在几个病人身上医好他们而已。
And so Jesus marveled, it says in the closing verse. He marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching.
这里耶稣自己也很诧异这些人的不信，所以他就往别处去教训别人去了。
Their unbelief and their rejection of Jesus stunned him.
这些人的不信让耶稣觉得很诧异。
And so he left the town, his hometown, and went among the other villages teaching.
所以他就离开他的家乡到其他地方去了。
Teaching was still central to Jesus' mission.
他到其他地方干什么呢？是去教训别人了，去教训人了。
It's almost given like one of the priorities of his movement and missionary work.
所以他做的事情的的首要的事情就是要去教训。
And sadly, whatever good that God had predetermined for that community, you know, the community, the small village of Nazareth, whatever it was short-circuited because of their rejection of Jesus and their unbelief.
所以我觉得因着这个拿撒勒人，他们本来是可以有神的恩典同在，有耶稣可以行神迹奇事的，但是因着他们不信，所以耶稣也就在那里不能够行神迹奇事。
And tragically, all that God might have done for them and in them and through them would not be, at least not at this time.
所以神本来想的是为他们做行一些神迹异能，在他们中间做或者通过他们做一些大的事情，结果因着他们不信，这个什么事也没有。
And I believe the same thing happens today, even if we don't admit it to ourselves.
我觉得这个在那个时候发生，如今在现在一样是可以发生。
Happens in our families, happens in our communities, happens in our churches.
在你的家里，在你的社区里面，在教会里面一样的。如果不信的话呢，也不要指望神会有什么大能显出来。
So as we prepare to wrap up, here's some observations, or you might call them insights.
下面讲几点这个总结。
People tend to view the Christian life or their family or the other people in their church as they used to be, who they once were, or appear to be. It's just a fact of life.
他说这个很没办法哈，人都是以这个老眼光看人。
Yeah. Did you already translate it? Oh, wow, okay. But you know, this is misguided. It's detrimental to all that God wants to do among His people. So how about you? How do you see one another? How do you see members of your family? Do you look at them as people who are being slowly and gradually transformed by God? Or how do you respond if you do see someone who's totally transformed and you know, they're walking with God and they're growing in influence? How do you deal with that in your heart? I think the same principle is true not only in the family but also in congregations.
在家庭中，在社区中，在教会中都是一样的原则。
God wants to do so much more than sometimes we permit Him to do among us.
神要在我们中做大事，但是常常我们不愿意他做。
But He's limited. God has chosen to limit Himself when we are blind or hostile or disbelieving.
当我们对神有一个不相信的态度，或者一个敌对的态度的时候。 神就不做什么大事了。
And in so doing, we quench the Holy Spirit.
我们有时候还会消灭圣灵的感动。But
God wants to bring about change.
但是神希望在我们当中带来改变。He
wants to bring about radical transformation.
他将带来极大的改变。So
what will you do in response to a message like this? Will you welcome the Lord? Lord, you come. This is Advent season. Lord, you come. You come in my life. You come among us and have your way with us.
当你听到这些，你的态度是怎么样的？ 你会说，主啊，到我们这里来，我愿意改变，我欢迎你来。
Or maybe we have a certain expectation when we look at our children who are still maturing. Maybe our children are adolescents, or maybe our children are 20 or 30 years old now, but we look at them in a different kind of way. Right?
还是说你现在好像就像你家里有个小孩子，他在成长，他可能是 小孩阶段或者青年青少年或者刚二三十岁，你对于他们的成长，你是怎么一个态度？
Right. I have two boys, 24, and I'm like you. I'm challenged sometimes by their decisions and how slowly they seem to grow up. But at the same time, I'm amazed. I see evidence of God still working with them in them, and it's so encouraging.
所以你当看你孩子成长的慢，就像我自己有两个二十几岁的孩子，我有时候看到他们的这个还是有些不成熟的地方哈。 但你看到这里，你要想到神还是在他们身上工作，还是有他的大能在他们身上。The
third observation, the Nazarenes teased and mocked and made light of Jesus and His work. Like some today, they were ready to jump on any excuse they found because Jesus' message, bottom line, Jesus' kingdom message was too unsettling, too radical for them, too costly.
第三点就是这些拿撒勒人哈。 他们对于耶稣的教训呢，他们是不屑一顾的，或者是来嗤笑耶稣的这些教训的，啊，那他们就是他们觉得这个耶稣讲的这个有点太难，或者让他如果要他接受的话，他付的成本太高，啊，所以或者说这个改变太大，所以他们就找各种各样的借口来拒绝。So
those of you who are parents or those of you who have attempted to go out and share the gospel with other people, you know that sometimes people will throw up all of that disrespect and all of that disbelief because they know that if they don't, that they have to take seriously what Jesus is saying.
有些人他拒绝别人的讲道或者说的福音，他为什么他想到他一旦接受的话，他要付出的代价很大，他没办法接受这个代价，所以他宁肯拒绝这个福音。So
sometimes that is just because people don't want to deal with the truth that is right before them.
所以很多人没办法接受他摆在他面前的这个事实或者这个真理。Jesus
is a rock.
耶稣是个石头。But
He's also a rock of offense.
这个石头还有个名字叫做跌人的磐石。And
once a person encounters Him, they're never the same again.
一个人如果碰到这个跌人的磐石，他就再也不一样了。Now
it's not obvious immediately. Like it's not like you change overnight in 24 hours. But that the inception of life and a person starts to bring about incrementally, gradually, true change.
所以当人来到耶稣面前见到这个跌人的磐石，他都会改变。但这个改变不是一瞬间，不是一个晚上就改变的，而是有一个逐渐的过程。
And little by little, this rock begins to crush the old parts of us that are in rebellion and in conflict with ourselves and others.
这个敌人的磐石会把你身上那些不好的地方、不讨人喜悦的地方，慢慢的给你压碎。
And as we grow and slowly mature in the Lord, we offer fewer and fewer excuses, and we open up more and more space to respond to the grace of God.
当你不好的地方被压碎、被除去的时候，你好的属神的性格就慢慢的长起来。
So I think Mark is using this particular encounter in Nazareth to prepare us for what's coming next in the gospel.
所以马可就用了这一段来为我们做个铺垫，来让我们准备下一段的福音。
Ultimately, Jesus must face the scorn of his accusers and the contempt of the authorities, and eventually it will lead him to the cross.
那这一段讲的是他的家乡的人不接受他，对吧？
Right.
然后后来会讲到这个耶路撒冷的人也不接受他，那些律法师什么祭司长也都不接受他。
So the pattern that you and I as Christ followers should expect would be that if we actually take serious the word of life and attempt to respond and follow him, we're going to encounter something similar.
所以对我们来说有什么意义呢？就是当你要效法耶稣，照遵他的道去行的话呢，你也会被人拒绝。
That's what I've found anyway. As I lean into what God is doing and I try to take steps of obedience, I learn that sometimes I'm in conflict with people who are just a long way away from God, who are very angry people, and they're very disrespectful sometimes.
所以我自己的经验也是，当我决定要照着耶稣的话去行的时候，我也会发现有时候人会跟我起冲突。
Is it an honor to follow Jesus? Absolutely. But it's also quite difficult.
啊，我遵照着耶稣的话去行是一个非常荣耀的事情，但是呢，我们也要面对这些很困难的事情。
They misjudged him, and they will misjudge you if you decide to actually genuinely learn to follow Jesus.
他们拒绝耶稣，他们也会拒绝跟从耶稣的人。
Now notice I'm not saying if you go to church. Notice I'm not saying if you read your Bible. What I'm saying is if you listen to the call of Jesus and actually begin to take steps of obedience, learning to walk with him, that there's going to be pushback.
所以当你注意我说的话，我说对跟从耶稣，我没有说你就是去教会哈。跟从耶稣是超过跟从去教会的这个范畴的。
There'll be conflict in your family, there'll be conflict in your church. You will know that you stirred people up. Yeah.
Yeah. 跟从耶稣不光是在教会里，在家里也是。所以当你真的要去跟从耶稣的话，你就发现不光在教会里，甚至在你的家里，在你的社区里面都会有人反对你。
Right. And so I want to end on this. These are some thoughts I put together as I was closing this message out in my devotional time this morning. This is why at this time of year, what we call Advent,We're focused on the fact that Jesus has come.
我在这想着最后再总结一点，在这个圣诞节将至的这个季节里面。
But it says that his own people did not receive him.
就像我们之前宣道读的，他到自己的地方来，自己的人倒不接待他。
Why? Because like many believers today, they could not accept that the Messiah could come like he did.
为什么他自己的人不能接待他呢？因为他们无法相信弥赛亚会用一个这样子的谦卑的方式来到世上。
With such great humility,
受了这么大的羞辱。
Born to a peasant family,
生在一个农民家里。
You think about it. Jesus could have been born in any family. He chose a poor peasant family to be born in.
你想，耶稣可以生在任何地方，他没选择，他也没选择生在王宫里，他选择生在一个农民家里。
Born into a family where his mother was scorned publicly.
他生在一个家里，他妈妈还被人瞧不起。
Raised in a backwater town called Nazareth that was despised by most.
他长在一个穷乡僻壤一个小镇里，叫做拿撒路，那人家都没听说过这个地方的。
Among a people called the Galileans that also were not well respected.
他那地区的人都叫做加利利人，也是不被人看得起的。
And he chose to be clothed in a body that would never turn a head. He was not good looking like we like to portray him.
他选了一个身体，那个身体也是人家没人瞧得上的。
Now, if probably you or I would choose as God to come to earth, we would probably want to be stunningly beautiful, but God didn't do that.
那你想说，如果神到人间来，会不会美轮美奂的，很了不起的样子？但是不是。
And he accepted his father's trade, who was just a poor carpenter.
而且他效法了那个约瑟的这个职业，他就是一个很穷的木匠。
A common laborer.
照我们现在的话，就是个蓝领。
Who over time became very popular among the marginalized people.
但是他呢，在这个被弱势群体中，他反而是很受尊重的。
And his popularity grew. Suddenly, there was a time, it says in John chapter 6, where they wanted to come and they wanted to make him king. What did he do? He withdrew.
他的这个受欢迎程度大到一个地步，甚至人家要拥戴他做王，那他又拒绝了。
Yeah, how different. So people are scandalized by that message. They are offended that you say that this one is your Christ, this one is the promised king, and the answer is yes, it's this one.
所以很多人因着看想到这些，就觉得这个是不可能是弥赛亚的，所以因他跌倒。
Because in God's ways, the first is the last, right? And it's this upside down kingdom that Jesus introduces to the world.
但是在神的做法里面，神的智慧跟我们不一样的。神常常是在后的，在前的要在后。
So how about us? We proclaim, probably we profess at least before others that we know Jesus and that we are his own people.
那我们要怎么办呢？我们是不是要跟从耶稣呢？
How do we deal with the scandal of this gospel message?
那我们当这个福音传到我们这里来的时候，我们应该怎么反应呢？
Maybe with offense, stumbling over the real Christ, his countercultural ways, insisting on recreating Jesus in our own image?
还是你会听到耶稣这些福音的在讲说，你会怎么样呢？你还是说，讲说我愿意信，但我愿意一个信照着我的想象的耶稣。
Or receiving the real Christ that we find in the pages of the New Testament.
还是你照着你接受一个圣经上讲述的耶稣。
The Messiah who calls us to pick up our cross and walk with him.
这个弥赛亚呼召我们背起我们的十字架来跟从他。
Paul says, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded the Messiah in this way, we don't do that anymore.
所以这里保罗就说所以我们从今以后不凭着外貌认人了，虽然凭着外貌认过耶稣，认过基督，如今不再这样认他了。
Let's pray.
好，我们一起祷告。
我们天上的父神，我们谢谢你啊。
Our Father in heaven, we thank you.
就是我们欢迎你来到我们当中。
We welcome you to be among us.
感谢主你来啊。
We thank you, you come.
求你来我们家。
Please come to our families.
来在我们的婚姻当中。
Come to our marriages.
来在我们教会。
Come to our churches.
你是我们的主啊。
You are our Lord.
你是基督啊。
You are the Christ.
我们真的感谢你啊。
We sincerely thank you.
怎么那么谦卑的来在我们当中，就是让我们知道这条路是如何。
How humbly you came to us and show us your way.
求主帮助每一个弟兄姐妹接受这个好消息啊。
Lord, help us everybody that can accept this true gospel.
让每一个弟兄姐妹们多思考，就是这个 Advent season 的时候，能够多多思想我们的基督是如何怎么样的人啊。
That every brother and sisters have meditate on who Jesus is.
让我们的能够回应，好好的忠心的回应你的呼召。
Let us have a good response to your calling.
我们这样子祷告奉靠主耶稣基督的名。
We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
好，请大家起立，我们唱一首回应诗歌。